At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Welcome into the New Orleans Pelicans podcast presented by SeatGeek, a podcast dedicated to everything you need to know about the squad.
Go to the free throw line, JV. Yeah, Guy's arm barring him.
The New Orleans Pelicans podcast starts right now.
Welcome to the Pelicans podcast presented by SeatGeek. I am Joe Cardosi, joined by the incandescent Jim Eichenhofer, because baby, we lit up today. We were worried that we would have to start the podcast by me crying and Jim telling me why it will be okay. But, you know, a big win last night has me feeling vivacious, Jim.
I do as well. I mean, that was much better. Friday, it was definitely a weekend of highs and lows. I mean, Friday was rough the way that that game ended, but then you come back Sunday and you win. You look at the standings and, hey, they're right there. So that was much better.
Yeah,
I thought they did a lot of good things Friday as well. Didn't get the win, but Sunday night was definitely pretty much from start to finish a quality performance. There was a couple times in the fourth quarter I got a little nervous, but
no
not
relaxing.
Too bad.
Yep.
Not too bad. I think the Rockets got it down to maybe 8 or 9,
did,
but
yeah.
Then the Pelicans were able to just put it away at the end. So very encouraging. Gained some ground on a couple teams, even just with the split 1-1. A bunch of other teams in the West had a really rough weekend, winless weekend. So.
Yes, thank you for that.
Yes. So, I mean, we're feeling a lot better than I think we were, say, Saturday morning.
Yeah, if we'd had a podcast in between those games, it wouldn't have been good.
No.
But I feel like some sort of weird, like, adrenaline addict, because every game is like, hey, man, you got one of those must-win nail-biters? you got one of those again? And it's like, yeah, man, sure, we got another one.
Yes.
And as you said, it was pretty much a wire-to-wire win. But you never really got to relax, because Houston proved they can take over a game again, even if you have a double-digit lead, as we saw in that first game. And listening to Todd Graffinini do that broadcast, you once again, as they got it closer and closer into that single digits, you were like, oh no, I cannot take another one.
Even the biggest optimist out there, which sometimes I consider myself to be one of those, even the most positive person, it was hard to not think.
Well, you're incandescent gym.
Yes, in the back of your mind somewhere. About Friday's game, just the fact that they had a double-digit lead in the second half.
That hurt.
They were up 16, I believe it was, late in the third quarter. Yeah. They were up 10 at halftime and weren't able to close out that win. So, you had to start creeping into your mind a little bit somewhere.
Yeah.
And Houston, you know, to their credit, I mean, a lot of teams that are way out of the race, given the situation that they were in Friday night, would have said, who cares? We're done. We're not going to win this game. So they fought to get back in the game, and they did the same thing again Sunday night. But fortunately for the Pelicans, they had a little bit too big of a cushion, and they also were able to finish out the 48 minutes and not play you know, say 40 minutes or so of good basketball and then have a drop off at the end.
If we would, we talked about it, if we'd had a podcast in between those games, it would have been a different one, because every time, especially after that game, I felt like, okay, maybe we're just not going to make the play in or the playoffs. Other teams would lose. And then Jim, it's like every day Jim would just pop into my office wearing like oversized Pelicans novelty glasses. Like, hey, we're still in it because this team lost and here's the scenarios. So you always had reason for optimism. And so it wasn't unfounded, your optimistic Jim attitude. Because like you said, even though the Pelicans didn't jump up the standings, and people aren't seeing that number go from 12th to whatever, it did bring us closer to what we want, which is, we're within half a game of the Jazz now. We are in a better place to make that jump.
Certainly. And it's funny.
Fun gym fact?
Yes, indeed. You know, if Javari Smith Jr. doesn't make that shot at the end of Friday's game, Pelicans are in eighth place right now.
That's a fun one, Jim. Thanks for that one. So, that would have been nice to see eight, but I think it solidifies how close we are, man.
Exactly. I was just trying to make the point of, you know, how close it is, how thin the margin is. You look at the standings and say, oh, you're in 12th place, man. That's so far back.
Right.
But it's like,
but no. For one shot.
Right.
But for one shot.
Yes. For one not shining moment to use.
Hey, but guess what? You know
March
what?
Madness.
I'm going to turn it back around. Jonas looking good, though, huh? Jonas has been looking good. Jonas. All the people being like, Jonas is washed. But Jonas has been looking good. He had 21 points, 11 rebounds last night. That first game, even though it was a loss, to your point, the Pelicans did some good things, and Jonas had 22 points, 17 rebounds in that game. He's looking effective, and we're going to talk about it with our guest today, Bally Sports, Mr. Antonio Daniels, who has said over and over and over again, feed Jonas, feed Jonas.
JV was a monster this weekend, and I think it's important that they go through him maybe more frequently or more consistently, but it's really imperative that it happens when he has matchups that are favorable to him. I mean, the Rockets don't really have any guy that's super huge that can kind of match him as far as how big he is.
I got to say, though, Şengün, it sounded like he is just so active on the boards. It just seemed like
he's a good player.
Every time there was a possession, you heard his name 40 times. He is just constantly a pest.
Yeah, and I don't mean to make it sound like Şengün had a bad
weekend
either.
But Jonas did dominate.
But it's just not a great matchup for Şengün defensively to go against Jonas. So the Pelicans definitely did a good job of taking advantage of that. I mean, Şengün actually, in Friday's game, he definitely was a factor in Houston being able to pull that one out.
Yeah.
Sunday, he wasn't nearly as effective as he had been in the first
Fouled
game.
Fouled out, too, which helped.
So, right, that definitely. So, I mean, that was definitely a part of how the games went the way that they did in terms of win or loss.
Yeah.
But, it's nice to have that anchor that you can throw the ball down to. When the other team, especially on the road, the other team goes on like a 6-0 run, 8-0 run, and you're looking around and saying, man, our 20-point lead is down to 12, and we haven't scored in a few minutes. It's such a luxury to have somebody that you can just throw the ball in the paint or the low post and say, hey, go to work. You don't have to run anything fancy. You don't have to have guys cutting everywhere. You can just say, here you go, Jonas. We know you can score against this guy or against this defense.
Yep.
And also, even if the other team, if you score a bunch and the other team starts double teaming you, triple teaming you, other players are going to be open. So it's kind of the same thing that the Pelicans had with Zion, where
just make life simpler for yourself.
Right. Just run a basic play, get him the ball on the side. I mean, JV's more in the low post. Zion's more kind of on the wing, kind of maybe 10, 15 feet out. It's so hard to stop him when he goes one-on-one. So just having that element of offense, I think, is so crucial. And it was great to see that they were able to rely on that to anytime you get in kind of a pickle and the other team is, going on a run, and maybe the crowd, it wasn't a huge crowd in Houston, but you're going to have some road games.
A lot of Pels fans, too. Shout out to the Pels fans.
That helps, too.
It's funny. Sometimes before Graf would make a call, I would hear the reaction of the crowd, and I thought, oh, it must have been a Houston block or something because a Pels player had the ball. But no, it was a Pels player making the shot. Mm-hmm. There were just that many fans in the crowd, which was confusing to hear, but great to hear out there in Houston.
That was great. I mean, you could see on the TV broadcast as well how many people in the stands were wearing Pelican stuff. A lot of them were seated by the court, so you could see them very prominently. So that was huge. Unfortunately, that will be probably definitely be the last time this season that they play a road game where they have a nice chunk of percentage of the crowd that, I mean, they're going to be going into a lot of hostile environments.
So, not a lot of Warriors, not a lot of people in the, when they play the Warriors, going to be in Pelicans jerseys, I'm assuming, out there in San Fran.
And that's why I say, hey, get the ball to JV.
Yeah.
Feed the guy. He's the anchor. He's the steadying presence, the steadying force on the offense when you need a basket.
Yep.
Get the ball to the 7-foot guy.
Well, the steadying force of this broadcast, Mr. Jim Eichenhofer, gotta say, we had a great conversation with Mr. Antonio Daniels of Bally Sports, who just had a birthday, which is nice. And let's talk to Mr. Antonio Daniels. He is an expert on all things basketball, but most especially the Spurs, and we need the scouting report. So let's talk to Mr. Antonio Daniels.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Joining us on the Pelicans podcast, you know him, you love him from every Bally's broadcast, and man, he just had a birthday, and somehow he looks younger, I would say, Mr. Antonio Daniels. How you doing, man?
I am awesome, fellas. Thanks you guys for having me on, man.
Yeah, I'm glad.
Damn!
You sounds like you had a AD. It sounds like you had a excellent birthday. I noticed on the broadcast that I believe at one point Joel vowed that he would sing happy birthday to you, but he was going to do it off the air. Did we ever get that promise fulfilled by Mr. Myers?
No, the moment we went to commercial, I told him that was a promise he did not have to fulfill, or a promise I really didn't, he didn't need to fulfill to me.
Oh, come
now,
on.
Now, just saying happy birthday to me was enough. That was good.
He sounds like he'd be such a crooner. He seems like he'd have that, you know, Frank Sinatra kind of voice. I just want to hear it, really.
Yeah, but with all due respect, I'm not really a Frank Sinatra kind of guy.
That's true. Okay. That's
you
true.
Know, yeah. My family was in Houston the entire weekend. My wife, my children. It was awesome. Just a really good time. And it helped. You know what really helped is the fact that we won.
Yes, right. I was about to say, that was the ultimate birthday gift, and I think you may have been the good juju that we needed, man.
Yeah. Right. It was to watch the team go out and play the way they did yesterday. After walking out Friday, leaving disappointed, frustrated, and then to respond, you know, 48 hours later, the way that they did, it was awesome to see.
Yeah.
You know, AD, obviously Friday night, like you mentioned, you leave the arena. I think people that were watching that game, it was kind of a crushing loss. And you look around and say, man, that was a brutal way to lose a game, especially since it seemed like they were ahead 90% of the game and the entire second half. But I mean, I thought that they actually did have a lot of good signs in that game, and that they did a lot of good things well, which is something that Willie Green talked about. Obviously, everyone forgets that, understandably so, when you lose in the way that they did. But I mean, when you look back, when you look at the weekend overall, obviously they wanted to win both games. They ended up with a split. But did you see, you know, some different signs that going forward were signs of progress or things that they can carry into the rest of the season, including, you know, for example, it just seemed like the offense flowed better, and it seemed like they did a really good job of kind of running things more through Jonas Valanciunas as well.
You know, for me, I feel like there's a silver lining in everything. And as frustrating as it was on Friday, there was still a silver lining in it. You didn't finish the way you wanted to. You let Houston climb back a couple of times from double digit deficit, a few times on Friday. But with all that being said, and I'll be the first one to tell you, this time of the year, I'm not a fan of moral victory.
Sure.
I'm not. I'm a fan of actual victory.
Right.
Because moral victories don't count when you're looking at games behind and when you're looking at the wins and loss columns. But the fact of the matter is you can still gain progress upon losing. And what I felt like this team did on Friday, the fact that they turned it over and doubled down on it on Sunday, to me, was awesome. Right? One of the things that Willie focused on, and it's one thing when, and I know this from a player, a coach can say whatever he wants to say. If you don't take it in between those four lines, then what he's saying is like, oh, okay, it's great to hear, but it's not translating. A lot of what Willie has talked about translated both on Friday and Sunday. It's just one was a victory and one wasn't. One of the things they talked about was playing more with pace, getting up and down the floor. Second thing they talked about was playing and involving Jonas Valanciunas. The first play of the game on Friday's game went into Jonas, right? And if you watch the broadcast, that is something I have – that's a drum I've been beating for quite some time.
Going to Jonas has been – we've heard you chirping, and right. Apparently they heard it.
And it's not – for me, it's not just the fact of going through Jonas like, you know, like he's Tim Duncan. Sure. It's the fact that this team is better when they're more offensively balanced. You know, when it's not just a perimeter-oriented team, like we saw against the Lakers, where it's three-point shot after three-point shot after mid-range shot after three-point shot.
Yeah.
Where there's the balance of playing inside, forcing them to come and double-team. Because when the ball goes into Jonas, especially with matchups like the Houston Rockets, what you get, it's not just about him scoring. It's about him creating opportunities for everyone else.
Right.
Because now you see the adjustments that Silas and the Rockets had to make in bringing a double team, which frees up catch and shoot opportunities, or now you're driving closeout. So it was nice to see some of these things kind of take place this weekend and see how that carries over to this upcoming week, because obviously Tuesday and Thursday are huge games also.
Yeah.
AD, you referenced this on the air during the game last night. I think maybe early in the game you talked about how, or maybe or even been pregame, you talk about how, you know, it seems like after every loss recently, you kind of take a step back and say, like, man, they put themselves in a tough situation. But then when you come back for the next game, you look at the standings and you realize, like, hey, they're actually still in good shape. I mean,
they keep bringing us back in.
Can you kind of expound on that in terms of
every time I try to get out,
they pull me back in.
You know, it's always interesting to look at social media after a crushing loss.
Sure.
And then look at that same social media 24 hours later when you see what other teams have done.
Mm-hmm.
So after every loss this time of the year, you hear, you know what, man, season's over. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what, man, you start hearing the T word, all these other kind of things. All that, that's it.
Yep.
Then next thing you know, this team loses. And then this team loses. And then this team loses. It's like, oh, shoot. You know what? We lost, but we didn't lose any ground.
Yeah.
So you're still a half game out of playoffs, playoff play-ins, or you're still a game and a half or two games out of, like, it's crazy to think about as we sit here today at 34 and 37.
Yeah.
Because you look at the teams that are ahead of you, right? The Utah Jazz, the Los Angeles Lakers, no LeBron James, Minnesota with Anthony Edwards will be sidelined for a significant amount of time. Mm-hmm. So just the opportunity to continue to move up. And here's the thing, Jim. A lot of these teams still have to play each other.
Yeah.
That's the part that gets you. So those are one-game swings, including us. We still got to go to Portland. You know, you still got to play Minnesota a few more times. You still have the Clippers two more times. So there are still opportunities to gain ground, but it's about winning the games you're supposed to win. I think sometimes that's why those games are so frustrating and deflating at that particular time.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned how, you know, you lose a game and you don't lose any ground. I thought it was kind of funny that, you know, going into Sunday afternoon, the Pelicans were obviously 0-1 on the weekend because they lost Friday. But they actually gained ground on both Golden State and Minnesota because both of them went 0-2 on Friday and Saturday. So just to your point, it's just been so interesting as far as the ups and downs. I mean,
I've never seen it, man.
Yeah.
I've never seen it. I've never seen usually when you start talking about the playoffs or play-ins, you're talking about, like, oh, man, if you look at 9 through 12, it's really close.
Yeah.
You know, three or four teams that are involved. But when you go all the way up to the Phoenix Suns, who are now at 33 losses, all the way down to the New Orleans Pelicans, who are at 37 losses.
Yeah.
So from basically from 4 all the way down to 12 is, it's fluid. It is fluid. As an athlete, you're always told never to get too high and never to get too low, because things are going to change every single day. And when you have a game like the San Antonio Spurs game tomorrow, I don't just look at the San Antonio Spurs game, right? I look at, okay, if we're playing tomorrow, who are the Lakers playing?
Right.
Who is Utah playing? Who's Minnesota playing? Right? Golden State plays Houston today. You know, who's Oklahoma City Thunder playing? So it's a scoreboard watching that comes along with this. But here's the thing. If you win the games that you're supposed to win, especially when you're not playing any of these other teams, it's a great opportunity to continue to progress and gain ground.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned how you said this is really not something that a lot of us can ever remember seeing, as far as how compact it is over 8, mm-hmm. 9 teams. You know, like you said, a lot of times you'll see a tight race between 2 or 3 teams, but it's never, okay, these 8 teams are all vying with each other. And it was interesting,
right.
Side note, I was listening to Zach Lowe's podcast the other day, and Kevin Pelton basically said that there's never been in the history of the NBA, or at least since, you know, there's been 15 teams in each conference since for about 20 years or so, since the Bobcats came back into the league, that this has never happened before, where there's been this few games between, you know, teams in this part of the standings. So, I mean, it really is unprecedented when people say this is something we've never seen before. It literally is the case that, you know, it's never been this jammed up. So that is going to make, I think, such a fun, interesting last 3 weeks of the season, especially if the Pelicans can keep winning games. One of the things that I wanted to ask you, we talked about this with Joel a couple weeks ago. What do you think is what should be the target right now? Like, what do you think should be the goal for them? Is it to just finish in the top 10? I mean, do you want to try to get to 7 or 8?
No.
How do you do that?
Why would you not? Why would you? But see, the thing is, finishing the top 10 is like, I get that, 7 or 8. Like, my thought is, right now, if you look at it, you're 2 games behind the Dallas Mavericks. Mm-hmm. So, and I understand that there are teams that you obviously have to jump up to move ahead to get to that point. It's not like it's Dallas and then the Pelicans are right after them. I'm looking at the difference in the fact that there's only 2 games separating the Pelicans from 6th place, right? Why not try and get in the top 6?
Yeah.
You know, especially, here's the thing, and I don't know, so don't hear what I'm not saying, but especially if you have an opportunity to get healthy.
Yeah,
sure.
Because I think that changes everything. That changes everything. If you have an opportunity to enter, you know, possibly the last 2 weeks of the season, the last 2.5 weeks of the season, whole and healthy, with a healthy Zion, possibly, and a healthy Jose Alvarado, now you're talking about a complete roster that's full, whole, and healthy that we haven't really had an opportunity to see this season. Why not?
Jim and I have talked about that endlessly, and I actually still have a bet. If we don't make the 6th seed, I'm going to grow old school Elfrid Payton hair. I'm trying my best right now. We'll see how it goes. But I'm with you, man. I still think there's a chance that we could get that 6th seed. You have this week circled. You're looking at Zion, maybe being reevaluated, hopefully getting good news. Jose Alvarado, as you mentioned, getting healthy. We've talked about it, like, you know, okay, everybody, as you mentioned, is dealing with injuries. The Timberwolves are dealing with injuries. The Mavs have been banged up. Everyone is banged up. The Lakers are banged up. And if you get a healthy Pelican squad right when everyone else is banged up, I don't know if that intersection is someone that anyone wants to see entering this playoff stretch.
Good point. You're right. Like, here's the thing. It's not just the playoff stretch. If you get a healthy Pelican squad in the play-in, if you get a healthy Pelican squad in the play, let's not forget what this team looked like, whole and healthy.
Yeah.
Let's not forget, because I know we live in a culture that's out of sight, out of mind. Let's not forget what this team looked like. And I can guarantee you, if you are any of these teams, if you're the Dallas Mavericks, if you're the Golden State Warriors, OKC Thunder, Minnesota, the Lakers, Now, when I talk whole and healthy, I'm talking about a starting five of CJ and Herb and B.I. and Zion and Jonas, and with Trey Murphy coming off your bench, with Jose Alvarado and Najee and Larry and all these different ways that you can – man, listen, there's not a team in the Western Conference that will want to see this team in a play-in situation or a playoff series. Not whole and healthy. I will put this roster whole and healthy against any and B.
Yeah.
I will die on that hill. I will put this roster whole and healthy in a 7-game series against any team in the Western Conference. Any. Phoenix has a heck of a squad now.
Yeah.
But you know what? When you have to deal with a Zion, when you have to deal with a Brandon Ingram, a healthy Zion, Brandon Ingram, CJ McCollum, Jonas Valanciunas, and the reps that Trey Murphy and Najee Marshall and these guys have gotten throughout the course of this season, it's only going to be beneficial. Like, there's a silver lining in everything. Yes, we haven't been healthy, but Trey Murphy has started more games than Zion. Trey Murphy has started more games than Brandon Ingram. The benefit of that now and watching the growth in that young man's game on a day-to-day basis, that is going to pay dividends. Trust me.
Yeah, AD, I know one of the things that I think people really enjoy listening to you talk about is the development of some of the younger players. I mean, partly just from, I mean, really two things. I mean, obviously you played in the NBA. You went through a similar process as far as just improving as a player, but also just the fact that, you have a good relationship with a lot of these guys from being here the last couple of years. I wanted to kind of ask you about Trey, more specifically. Just what do you think are some of the things that you've seen him make the biggest strides in, maybe compared to last season? Obviously his rookie year, he was in and out of the rotation, but then by the play-in tournament, he's making some of the biggest shots of the season. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, what do you think has been some of the biggest jumps that he's made this year?
The thing is, if you think about Trey's, the jump that you're talking about last season and some of the shots that he hit last season, I will guarantee you 99% of those shots were off the catch.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep.
Yeah. Somebody's broken down, they collapsed the defense, kicked out Trey for three.
Yep.
Now what you're seeing, and this is one of the best parts of my job as a whole, is to watch guys take the proverbial step as far as skill set is concerned. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So think about Trey now. He's not just a catch and shoot player. We've seen him numerous times this season come down in transition off the dribble, just as recently as yesterday and Friday, come down in transition, kind of rhythm dribble, and pull up, right? So the confidence that comes along with taking that shot, right? His ability to understand, okay, now I'm being scouted and they are taking away my airspace to put that ball on the floor, get to that rim, get to that rim. You don't have to be Kyrie Irving. But what you have to do is be good enough at something to make them respect the next step.
Yeah.
Because what they were saying was, all right, let's run up on him. Let's take away his airspace. Let's make him put the ball on the floor. And you can think about how many times throughout the course of this season where he has ball fake, taken a dribble, pulled up, ball fake, taken a dribble, went to the rim, dunked on somebody, ball fake, taken a few dribbles, got to the rim, and finished with a three-point opportunity. Mm-hmm. So his growth with his ability to understand that he's being scouted now, understanding what they're taking away from me, while also growing other areas of his game, for me, you can only get that through reps. You can only get that through reps. So when B.I. went down for that 2-month stretch, that was Trey Murphy's real opportunity to grow, to really grow, because now I can go out there and I can hoop with no consequence. Because Brandon Ingram's not coming back in for me. So playing those 30 and 35 minutes, a little while back, playing 41 minutes in a game. And he brings something to the table that no one else on this table can, no one else on this roster can do.
Yeah,
and anytime you have that particular guy or that skill set, it's incredibly valuable.
AD, what have you been seeing from Herb lately? It seems like Herb has really had a really good weekend in Houston.
I talked to him last night.
Yeah, he did.
Yep.
Yeah.
I talked to Herb last night. We had a conversation after the game. And one of the things that I shared with him before, and we talked about it again last night, was I told him it's nice to see him expanding, right?
Mm.
The work, the time, the energy, the effort that he puts in with Fred Vinson is awesome.
Yeah,
it's great. And working on that three-point shot, corner shot, wing shot, top of the key. That's great.
Yeah.
But you also have to understand that that's not all you are, right? God has blessed you with so much more than just the ability to stand still and shoot. And now what he's doing is he's tapping into that much more. He's tapping into that, okay, let me move without the basketball. Mm-hmm. Just because I'm in the corner doesn't mean I have to stay in the corner. You know, cutting out of the corner. And what Willie's doing a great job of is now moving Herb around, right? If you notice now, Herb's not just in the corner. Sometimes he's initiating offense. Sometimes he's using screen and rolls. Sometimes he's the screener and the guy rolling out to make a play. So just Herb understanding now all that he's been blessed with and how to actually carry that over to an NBA floor is what's been awesome for me to see. The defense, he's always going to be ahead of the curve.
Yeah, for sure.
He'll always be ahead of the curve defensively. But now offensively, what the game is starting to do for him, just like it's starting to do for Trey Murphy, is to slow down. Slow down and understand there are different ways that you can impact the game outside of just spacing the floor and shooting three.
What did you what about Najee, as far as Najee Marshall, the weekend that he had? It seemed like he's kind of in the same mode a little bit as Herb, as far as just seems like lately he's really been a spark and just doing a lot of different things to help the team win.
Yeah, and I think what Willie's done with Najee is, and we referenced this, Joel and I referenced this a little while back. Now he's back to putting the ball in Najee's hands. Mm-hmm. Right? I feel like the sign of a good coach is to understand and have your finger on the pulse and skill set of your players. Right? So you can't ask Najee to be Trey. You can't ask Trey to be Najee. You can't ask Najee to be Herb, vice versa. Mm-hmm. Because they all have different skill sets and bring different things to the table. The one thing we know about Najee is he is going to bring toughness and physicality to every single game. But you know what? He is a heck of a passer. He is a great passer, and he's really good with that basketball in his hand. And what Willie has done is he has put Najee in a position now to make plays. So when he comes in with that second unit, he's not just coming in with the second unit and spacing the floor. He's coming in with the second unit with a distinct role. Mm-hmm. You know, and that role is to come in and make plays, make really good passes, down passes, cross-court passes, push the ball. So if you can't outlet that ball to CJ, especially with Jose not being there for that second unit, now Najee has done a really good job with that second unit of facilitating. I feel like outside of Zion, Najee is the next best player on the team at playing downhill.
Right.
Just getting downhill, creating opportunities, and creating contact.
You talked about it, and I agree with you. It seemed like a lot of our players that were supposed to be coming off the bench, our role players, were having to be overstretched. It seemed like when they were having to get those starter minutes, it is good for them in the long run. But at the time, people are like, they're not ready. They're overstretched. They're playing over their heads. But now it seems like they might be able to play in the role they were supposed to with more seasoning than they were expected to have. And we're going to need it. You know, this is a Spurs team that you are familiar with. And people kept talking about how we were supposed to beat the Rockets. That was supposed to be easy on paper. And we've learned, especially with these feisty teams with nothing to lose, there are no games that you can point to on paper as just straight wins. Especially when you look at the Spurs. They've had some good recent wins, and they've got Devin Vassell back. So when you look at this Spurs game, it looks like, oh, circle it as a win. This is a game that we should win. And I agree with that. But that said, they are dangerous. How dangerous is this Spurs team? And how are they going to match up against this Pelicans team that's still kind of shorthanded?
Listen, I was talking to Graffinini on the bus yesterday. And I told him, at this time of the year, if you're a team that is playing for something, you know what you hate playing against? A team that's not.
Yeah.
Because you know what? That, just like the Houston Rockets team.
There
is zero consequence. Yeah. This is the time of the season where you see, and I mean this respectfully, not to disrespect these teams, but teams that aren't playing for anything, these young players get career highs. Mm-hmm. You know, a couple of years ago, Kevin Porter had 50 and 10 this time of the year. Sadiq Bey had 50 last year for the Detroit Pistons because there's no consequence.
Yeah.
So you can go out there and you can just be free. You can be free. So when you're playing against a team that is playing for something, there's consequences for coming down five straight times and no one else touching the ball and you just shooting.
Yeah.
But you saw last night what it looks like when Jalen Green can get going. There was multiple possessions yesterday in that Houston Rockets game where no one else touched the basketball.
Right.
And one of their two guards ended up going one-on-one and just making a shot over an outstretched hand. Like, okay, well, that's something you have to live with. If you're a team that is playing for something, that's not the type of offensive system that you have to defend against. Mm-hmm. So what you have to understand with the San Antonio Spurs, as opposed to it being game 30 or game 20, right now this is a team that's not playing for anything. Mm-hmm. Right? They call it the Victor Wembanyama sweepstakes. Certain teams that are trying to get Victor Wembanyama. With that being said, the thing you can't do is go in and play these teams' records.
Yeah,
because they have guys that are capable of putting up big numbers. We saw Jalen Green last night go for 40. We saw these guards two nights ago on Friday night go for 60-plus points combined.
Yeah.
And they have guys in Vassell, like you just said, and Johnson that can put up points. Guys that can score. Devontae Graham will be back here.
Ah,
his first game as a Spur, he went plus 30. So when you're not playing for anything, these are the teams that you really have to go in focused against.
No, and actually Brandon Ingram talked about it in the post-game interview with Todd Graffinini. He said they were playing a lot of hero ball, a lot of iso ball. It was hard to defend because you weren't sure what they were going to throw out there.
That's right.
And I think it's going to be another thing they got to look out for versus the Spurs. Let's hope that was a little bit of practice for some of that crazy hero ball they might see again. AD, can't wait to see you on the broadcast with Joel. Bummer he didn't get to sing to you, but happy birthday regardless. And looking forward to another win, hopefully. Let's go Pels, man.
For sure, Joe. Jim, thank you guys, man. Thank you guys. God bless you guys.
Thanks, AD. Huge thanks to Antonio Daniels. I once again, Jim, feel wind in my sails. I am so glad the Pelicans saved not only their own season with that win, but they saved maybe the podcast. Because, look, I have been doing this a long time. I've been in radio for 16 years, and I am underqualified to do anything in this economy at this point except lay face down alone in the forest until I become a skeleton. So had to get that win so that I could come back on here and not make a fool of myself. And, boy, it looks like we can roll if we beat these Spurs and then we hit this tough stretch, you know, with some wind in our sails. I feel like we can make some hay. Jim, do you have any gymnarios to hit us with?
Yeah, you know, there's many. I guess the first gymnario I'll start with, I mean, this we've talked about this for a while, but, I mean, really, if they to make a long story short, if they can win Tuesday and then Thursday against the Hornets, they can win these two games. I know the team needs to take it one game at a time. It's not like they can win Thursday's game on Tuesday. Sure. That's impossible. But we can look forward because you know we're not going to be playing in any of these games and not going to be directly affecting the outcome. But I do think if they can win these two, they'll be 36 and 37. I can sit here and pretty much guarantee you that they will move up the ladder a couple spots. I know we talked about earlier how if they had one more win, instead of being in 12th place, they'd be in 8th right now. But if they can win these next couple, I think there's a chance that maybe it's not 8th, but it might be 9th or 10th.
I'll take whatever.
I just want to see them be in the best position they can possibly be going into the four-game West Coast trip that they have coming up that starts Saturday against the Clippers. But, I mean, if they can win Tuesday, Thursday, like I said, I think it's going to make for so much fun kind of scoreboard watching this week.
Yeah.
There's so many teams that have challenging schedules that are playing on the road a bunch. There's a bunch of teams that are playing each other.
AD mentioned it. You've mentioned it in terms of the teams that are going to play each other. So even when the Pelicans aren't playing, there's still exciting scoreboard watching.
I thought that was a great point that AD made. I mean, just for example, just to throw out a scenario, gymnario.
Yeah.
If the Pelicans win on Tuesday against the Spurs, they're 35 and 37. Golden State and Dallas play each other on Wednesday, so one of those teams has to lose.
Yep.
Right now, Dallas has 35 losses. Golden State has 36. They also have other games before then. I don't want to get too complicated and crazy, but the moral of the story is that one of them has to lose. The Pelicans are going to inch closer to one of them or both of them over the next few days if they can just beat the Spurs Tuesday night.
Just beat
the Spurs. We'll worry about that other stuff later. There's also There's two games between OKC and the Clippers this week.
Oh.
So, I mean, those are head-to-head. OKC also plays the Lakers on Friday night, which I think is going to be a game that a lot of people should circle, that I've circled already.
Yeah.
As important game. I mean, it's going to have massive implications. And, again, one of those teams has to lose guaranteed. So, yeah. I mean, really, as much as things looked bleak Saturday morning
they
after
sure
the way Friday night went, I do think if the Pelicans can win these next couple games, just it's guaranteed based on all these teams playing head-to-head that you're going to be looking at a much different situation. Maybe they can move up a few rungs, and then you're talking at that point 9 games left in the season, and it's going to be up to them to you know, just keep winning. And I mean, I don't want to be in a situation where you go into the West Coast trip saying, got to win 3 or 4 of these games and the season's over. I mean, you want to have yourself have a little bit of a cushion. I realize that, you know, as Antonio referenced, want to do as well as possible, want to win as many games as possible. But, I mean, realistically, you don't want to say, yeah, we have to just no problem. We just have to win at the Clippers and at Golden State and at Portland.
Yeah.
And at
the analytics say it'll
and
be
at
fine.
Denver.
Yeah.
Just win all 4 of those games and everything will be work out well. No, you don't want to be in that position. No. So that's where these two games against the Spurs and the Hornets come in. Just vital to be able to get both of these wins. And then I can promise you that Wednesday show we'll come in and we'll say, hey, things are looking better because they beat the Spurs. And then on Friday we'll be able to say, hey, things are looking better because they beat the Hornets. So
it's moving on up Monday.
Hopefully these next couple shows, paired with wins the previous evening, we will have even more smiles on our faces and we'll be able to paint a better picture. And people will not listen to me and say, I see you're trying to paint a better picture, but the thing looks terrible, regardless of what you say. I want to be believable when I say that, and I'm hoping that the Pelicans can come through with a couple wins.
That's why you're Jim Credible, because you are Mr. Credibility. And you know, I just want some fun times ahead. You know, there are so many seasons before this where, you know, by now we were just very much out of the picture and you could almost count down the games. Mm-hmm. And I am grateful no matter what happens down the stretch that we're not in that position now. As we said before in the beginning, it seems like we're just addicted to must-win games, but every single one of them is going to be, or at least it's going to feel that way, down the stretch, man.
And I tell you what, I know that it's not just us that's in this boat, that we have a lot of fans that are like, man, how do they have so many 9 o'clock games? Why, man, this is a nightmare. We have to stay up until midnight.
But
those games will be so much more compelling and so much easier to follow and stay up until the very bitter end, until the final buzzer, if the Pelicans can win these next couple games and put themselves in a better position. I feel like, you know, they move into the top 10 and you go into every game saying, hey, we win this game and we're still in the top 10. You don't have to say, you don't have to like squint and
I can almost see the play.
Exactly. Yeah. You don't have to, and I don't have to sit here and say like, well, they just need to win and these 17 other things need to
also
happen.
Also, a comet needs to hit at a certain time and a team needs to disqualify themselves.
Yes.
We don't have to get into the fantastical stuff. Right now, the Pelicans just need to win. Let's keep it simple and keep Jim happy, Pelicans. Let's win, baby.
Yes, definitely.
We are rolling into Wednesday with hopefully more joy to share with you guys. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you to Antonio Daniels for hopping on with these two old sots. And thank you for sharing the Pelicans podcast with your friends and family. We count on you that you're doing it. We're everywhere iHeart podcasts are. Spotify, iTunes. We will talk to you once again on Wednesday, hoping to get the star himself, Mr. Todd Graffinini, fresh off his WDSU profile in here. We'll see if his people can talk to our people. But until Wednesday... Go, Bell.
Thanks for listening to the New Orleans Pelicans podcast, presented by SeatGeek. Join us 3 times per week on Pelicans.com, the Pelicans mobile app, or you can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. We'll see you next time right here on the New Orleans Pelicans podcast, presented by SeatGeek.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See what makes Minnesota the Star of the North. New residents share why they love calling it home at exploreminnesota.com/live.